This is HPR episode 2631 entitled HPR Community News for August 2018 and is part of the series HPR Community News. It is hosted by HPR volunteers and is about 75 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is HPR volunteers talk about shows released and comments posted in August 2018.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
My name is Ken Fallon, and you're welcome to another episode of Hacker Public Radio. This is HPR Community News for August 2018, a monthly look at what's been going on in the HPR community. This is a regular show scheduled for the first Monday of the month, recorded 2 days prior to that. Joining me this evening is...
Hi, it's Dave Morris.
Hi, Dave. And we also have Jeroen, who is one of our new hosts. I think he's off having dinner at the minute, but may join us later on. For those of you new to HPR, are you there?
Yeah, I am. I'm done eating and I'm ready to listen and join in whenever needed.
Excellent. First of all, let us welcome our new hosts, and that is traditionally done by David. David, will you welcome our new host, please?
We have one new host this month, and it is Xtrato. Xtrato, I believe.
You wouldn't happen to know who that is, Jeroen?
I have no clue.
Anyways, HPR is a community podcast network where the shows are contributed by the listeners like yourself who are listening to this. And we do a community news show every month so that people can basically review what's been going on in the community. We normally start by going through the shows that have been on in the last month, and then talking about the comments. But Jeroen, I don't know if you want to get to your business first, or do you want to sit through the show?
I was invited to join and talk about some stuff, so I can do that. I can wait for it. I'm in no hurry. It's up to you. You're the hosts, in a way.
Shall we do that first, Dave? And then... we can go on with the rest of the show afterwards.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
So, Jeroen, which one? For once I got a host name that I could pronounce, and you didn't pronounce it like it's pronounced in the Netherlands. I think you anglicized it on your... But you're Xtrato anyway. Made a comment. I think, Dave, can you basically sum up what the story is?
Well, I met Jeroen at OCamp, where he gave an excellent presentation, and it was actually JWP who was speaking to him about Hacker Public Radio, and I joined in, handed over a business card, and said, if you feel like doing a show, then here's where to do it. And within a pretty short space of time after OCamp was over, he very, very kindly did that very thing. So the show is posted for the 7th of September, and Jeroen has listened to it today after I pointed out where it was, and he had some comments about the packaging, I guess, the front
branding,
matter.
The branding,
yes. So there was a little bit of a conversation on the OGCamp channel of Telegram. So I don't know whether you want to comment on your feelings on this subject, Jeroen, yourself?
Well, it's not so much feelings as it is, let's call it mild surprise. I was expecting some editing in a way. So when I started, I was in no hurry to listen to myself. I'm not that kind of guy, but I was curious. So if I remember correctly, it starts with an eSpeak intro, which is, of course, very good for people who are, for instance, vision impaired, to gather what the subject is all about. After that, there was a sort of commercial, and even that one I can understand. And after that, there was some sort of, I guess it's the tune of Hacker Public Radio.
That one.
Yeah, exactly. And I made some comments about that, I guess. I've had my own MIDI studio for a long period of time, so I made those kind of tunes myself 30 years ago. And recently, I was looking for a tune to start my own podcast, thinking, well, I also at one point had a radio show at local radio in the Netherlands. And so I was a bit familiar with tunes and jingles. So I was looking around for a nice tune, and I was actually astounded by the quality of tunes available, and picked one to start my podcast with. So when I listened to the podcast today, before my tune was another tune inserted, which was different. Let's put it mildly like that. I don't want to step on anybody's feelings in any way. And I do think a time by itself is a valuable thing. So time spent by people doing podcasts or working on open source is a valuable gift to consider as such. But it's the you know, the website is professional. The things that are mentioned there to get a podcast online are clear, concise, helpful, etc. So you get a certain expectation of the professionalism of the organization. There's a business card that also builds expectations. So when suddenly in the midst of all the intro sounds, there is a tune that I could have produced myself, and that surprised me. Let's put it like that. And that's what I mentioned on the OrgCamp channel. That's basically cool. How I ended up here.
Okay, so basically, I think your position is kind of unique in so far as the expectations may be a little bit different from HPR. You're coming to this completely new, and you've been basically volunteered into the network. So you're coming to the network as a completely new set of ears. So I really think it's important that we've had you on to discuss this. Now, just to give you some background, HPR is slightly different to your normal shows. When you say this theme sounds really old, it is, because the theme is really old. It's nearly 13 years old now, which is quite long in internet terms. And prior to that, we had another team with when we had Today With a Techie. There have been a few attempts to change it over the years, and in each case, it's been pretty much rejected on the grounds that it's branding. I'm just communicating. This is not me stating anything here. This is me bringing everybody, including Jeroen, but also including new members of the community, up to date. And it's also a chance for us to remind everybody that we, as a community, decide what's going to happen or what doesn't happen. So there have been various different discussions on what to do with branding. First of all, if you go to the Give Show section and you go to themes, you'll get a breakdown of the theme music. And there was a link there to the discussions forum, which has disappeared. We'll try and get that link back up. So the first part is the show synopsis, which is, this is HPR episodes. This is the eSpeak thing. And just before Ray and the guys contact us, the people in the who rely on eSpeak absolutely hate this because it is so in the vision impaired community, they actually don't like this at all because they have their own means of, and I'm generalizing here, they may be different, but the feedback that I've received has been that they dislike this because they automatically do their own thing on their own shows. So this is actually for more for people who don't want to look at their media players, something like, and they can immediately tell what the show is so that they can decide to skip it or not. So it tells you what it is, short summary of the show, and you can skip it. And given we have 5 shows a week, 260 shows a year, and terabytes of shows in the queue, this has been about 50-50, about people who want it and people who don't want it. The following one, the next component of the theme, is thanking our hosting provider. So if you're listening to this from the website, you'll get a thank you for anhonesthost.com. And if you listen to it from archive.org, you get it from archive.org. There was some debate. We definitely do want to have that in, but whether we have it at the beginning or the end of the podcast, that is something that has been debated. And again, it was 50-50. The HPR introductory music one, as I said, was up for discussion previously, and there was even talk of alternative one, but there was the general decision was made, and this was quite, at the time, pro keeping the music as it is because it has a lot of branding, and in the podcast community, it has a noticeable branding for what HPR is, and this is HPR. If you listen to podcasts and you hear da 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 da, then you know that it's the HPR theme. Then we have the show, and then we have the outro. And you can have any HPR in themed show. This was the compromise, and there's been a few submitted over the time, provided that the text is given as we agreed, which is you are listening to Hacker Public Radio's community podcast network, blah blah blah. So that text needs to be written out, and a few people have made their own versions of the themes, and they're up. And then finally, there's an epilogue, which is basically for Pokey, and promos, which we have not as yet added. So what I want to do is take this as an opportunity, again, to revisit this discussion. I don't intend to propose any solution here now. What I do intend to do is bring it up on the HPR mailing list, and we would like, as always, to hear your thoughts about this. Do we modify the HPR intro music? I think that's everything again is up for grabs, guys, because it's been a good while since we've had this discussion, and I think it's time for it to be had again. Do we put the show synopsis in? Do we thank our hosting providers? We will be thanking our hosting providers. I just think it's rude not to. That's my personal opinion. But the question is there, do we thank them? And if so, what's the order of these sort of things? So I'll put a link into the to this page and start a topic on the mailing list, and that will be that. Sounds fair enough?
Yeah, well, if I can add just 2 cents to it.
Sure.
So I understand the branding point of a tune, but if I, for instance, look at... let's say an example, Dutch television, there is a news broadcast every evening. It's a very recognizable tune, but even that one is revisited and changed every, I don't know, 5 years or so. And I can imagine that you make, for instance, maybe not change the tune if that's a bridge too far, but remanage it. Rearrange it to make it sound more more modern and more to today's than the one that I heard today. So it would still be recognizable, but it would sound dare I say, a little more professional.
Super. And now this is where everybody listening, knowing me, will volunteer you to produce that very thing. Not just you, but if there's anybody out there who can reimagine the intro theme, to give people, because that will make that I personally am absolutely fine with, but then again, I have as much say as anybody else, just as a reminder. As a host, I think that would be cool, and it would be nice to, if it's not a lot of work, but if somebody could slap something together and see if that would be acceptable to the community.
Is there a MIDI file available of this tune?
No, it's again, I wasn't involved back then. I think it was Slick Zero did it. I'll try and get in touch with him, but all I have is the FLAC file of the thing, if that's
So no MIDI file, is there and no score then?
Nope. Although I do happen to know somebody who listens to the network in Lafayette, Louisiana, who may have a score. What do you reckon, Dave?
I was just laughing off mostly there. Yeah, yes.
Not mentioning any names or anything.
No. But if we did have somebody who is professionally connected in the music world, then
Head of a department of music, no less.
Indeed, yes. If there was such a person, then he might be somebody who could contribute.
So, actually, that would be cool to have anyway. That would be cool to have anyway. And I'll get in touch with Slick Zero as well. And yeah, if there were basically, let's assume that that we could have people who would be willing to do a refresh of the HPR intro music, like da 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 da, keeping the spirit of that alive and stuff, so there is recognizable branding, then we can have that discussion. We're going to have that discussion anyway on the list.
Yeah, I mean, if there was a MIDI file, you have a community of a lot of people who are active with audio in a way. If there was a MIDI file, everybody could get started very easily to arrange it on their own, and you could even make a sort of what's the word for it?
Competition, collaboration.
Sort of a game of people submitting entries and voting on which one is the most appreciated.
Fair enough. Yeah, good. Well, that's what the mailing list is essentially. It's whoever, basically, whichever way they tend to go. But my experience is that some people will love one thing and hate the other ones. But yeah, regardless, it's cool. Again, if people step up and do it, that would be absolutely awesome. And there's always the option to rotate them or have the host decide when you upload your show which one you'd like. Okay, shall we move on? We'll be here all night.
Okay.
Cool. So let us look at last month's shows. Have you listened to any of the HBR shows yet?
Me so far, no. I'm currently on vacation, so I was curious and just listened to the first minutes of my own podcast, and that was basically it so far. After that, I listened to another podcast from a completely different source just to get a sort of a feel. I'm a real podcast virgin in a way.
Excellent.
I love to do talks. I do them all the time. So I've got by now a lot of content and subjects that I could turn into podcasts. Just getting my feel for what the world of podcast is all about.
Cool. Can I recommend also that you go to the HPR, if you go to the HPR website and you go to Get Shows, we have in-depth series and there's a section there called Podcast Recommendations, where we recommend other podcasts, not just Linux ones, but wide range of different, what the other listeners have in their podcast clients. In the last one, it's my Swedish and German podcasts. So, have a read of that, and we'll definitely give you something to browse.
Oh, that's a good idea. Thanks.
No problem. Yeah, and it's actually nice to. I would appreciate your feedback as well, positive and negative, on what we're doing here, because it's rare that we get somebody who's untainted coming to the network, untainted in the best possible way. So, as I said before, what we do is we tend to go through the last shows that's been on in the last month, and we've heard recently, we suspected, and we've heard that people listen to this show and then listen to our discussions of the previous month's shows to go back and pick it out, because, as I said, we do have an awful lot of shows on the network, and some months it can be the shows can be 2 or 3 hours long on average, and then some months it can go down to 5 or 6 minutes because we don't have any limitation on how long the show can be or the content of said show outside the intro and outro, and we know your feelings on that. So the first show was Battletech by, and I'm going to read it, Tuukko Torotoo, who, Dave, did you notice, allowed us to simplify that.
Indeed, indeed, yes. To new readers, we've been having a slight friendly discussion, exchange of views about how to say his handle. I'm conceding the point to Ken at the moment.
Yes, and to people new to the network, it's a long tradition where I butcher people's names. So if your name has not been butchered, then then you're not a real HBR contributor. And if I haven't butchered your name yet, I eventually will. So this was a game about, this is in the tabletop gaming series that we do. And it was a show about battle tech, which is a science fiction space opera, fictional militarized universe set in the 31st century, where a future where humanity has spread to the stars, etc., etc. What do you think, Dave?
Well, it sounds very, very detailed and impressive. I'm not sure my small brain is up for that type of thing, but it certainly sounds impressive.
And CM Hobbs thought so too. Hurrah, Battletech! I haven't listened to the podcast yet, but I have it queued up for my morning walk. I hope you mention Mega Mech and Mech Wars. As an avid BTEC fan, it's about the only way I can play these days, because it's hard to get a tabletop game together sometimes.
And Tuturto, as I tend to call him, replies, Mega Mech and Mech Wars. Mega Mech and Mech Wars, I completely forgot, as I was too excited to talk about the game. Truth be told, there's so much to tell about the game that it's almost impossible to fit all of it in one episode, even in a very superficial level.
I like the way he is contributing his shows. He's bringing lots of interesting stuff.
He's got, quite a variety, isn't it?
Long may it continue. Klaatu just demonstrates SparkleShare, and because Klake, a host whose names I've butchered on many occasions, that not everybody might know about SparkleShare. And I think it is such an awesome thing. Yes, I can't think of a reason why I would use it, but I think it's such an awesome thing.
Yeah, I know. I feel very tempted to use it. I've installed it, but I haven't seemed to have had any time this past month to do anything with it. But ditto as far as usage is concerned. But yeah, I think it's just lack of imagination on my part, probably.
Yeah, exactly. But, well, on my part, I mean, obviously not yours. Clacky says, thank you. Excellent show as always. What SparkleShare is and how to use it at different expert levels. And when not to use it at all. Is a thoroughly explained without the episode ever feeling long. Oh my God, Dave, so somebody's spell got past you? Or do you just reserve your wrath for me?
I don't correct people's comments. That would just be too big brotherish, I feel.
Okay, most of all, thank you for paying off my episode debt to the community for me. I guess I owe you personally an episode now instead. Yes! Another episode!
Hooray!
The following day, same old this guy coming up with his bloody GNU Orc Part 12.
When will he stop? I don't know.
Exactly. No comments. People are obviously sick and tired of hearing this show.
Well, I did get one comment.
Did you?
And that was from our friend JWP, who said, Dave, it's really interesting, but it's a bit long. So I said, oh, well, thanks, JWP. That's
very supportive of you.
Bear that in mind. But, you know, it's a valid comment. It's a valid comment. I sometimes wonder about that myself.
No, it is, as Klaatu has basically turned his own GNU World Order, another podcast you should listen to if you want to listen to well-produced shows, Jeroen, is GNU World Order. You will find a link to it on the podcast recommendations for sure. And it's by one of our fellow hosts, Klaatu, or not Klaatu, depending. But anyway, in this episode, Dave, you were talking about sorting arrays, which I found invaluable, not only because of awk, but your references also to how they're handled in bash. So, very
right.
Good.
Okay,
And I do approach this show, and this is why I like the intro, because this one I will skip over until I'm in a place where I can I really need to be in the zone to get this one, to do these episodes. And not just yours ones, but also when B-Easy does his.
Yes. I do write these in the assumption that people are going to look at it, maybe, and then skip, and then maybe come back if they feel it's useful. And also look at the long notes as a sort of a chapter out of a book sort of idea. So, yeah.
My approach to this show, at least, is to this entire series, which is absolutely excellent, is that you will at some point be producing an EPUB of the whole thing. I don't know, you produce EPUBs of the notes and some sort of audio CD with it. So that I would envision, you know, being on a HBR stand as a like a promo book sort of thing.
Yep, that's the sort of thought I have in mind.
Okay. Also something I had in mind for Kevin's LibreOffice series, actually.
Yes, indeed, yes.
And then we had the HBR community news for last month, of which there was one comment, and you want to do that one?
That was from DODD Dummy. In case there was any doubt, he says, this is a quote from Clad2 today on Mastodon. Also, English is the worst language. I wish we'd migrate away to something constructed and better, like Esperanto, says Clatu. It was because I think it was me that was voicing some doubt as to whether he was referring to Esperanto, because he didn't say that he would prefer Esperanto to English as lingua franca. But I was guessing, but that's a confirmation.
No, absolutely. He's mentioned it several times on his GNU World Order. I'm surprised that he hasn't done a learning Esperanto series here in HBR.
There have been shows about Esperanto way back in time, but I'm not sure who did them. Just remember seeing them. So yeah,
strange.
It would be most interesting to learn it. I'd certainly be up for that.
Yeah, same here. That's two, and that was a requirement, Dave, of interest to hackers, plural. Doesn't tell you how many. So the next day we had, Tony. Every time Liverpool Maker Fest comes on, I think, I'm really missing a cool show there. Liverpool Maker Fest, this one about rockets.
What a play. Yeah, from Tony's pictures, it looks like an amazing event. It really does.
And of course, I missed Odd Camp as well. So Foster.
Yeah.
I'm really down I'm going to the network conference, so maybe that might make up. Anyway, Steve, no surprise that we got a comment from Steve there. Rocket, thanks for doing the interview. Concrete Dog looked like someone I could get along with quite well.
Tony replies, Steve, glad you enjoyed the show. It was an enjoyable interview to record.
And Steve has done a few shows on rocketry as well.
Yes, indeed, he has, yeah. Very interesting ones.
Yeah, I'd like to hear more. And Clatu, bumping in on the AUK script. Cutting in on your turf there, Dave.
Oh, he's so welcome. Very, very welcome.
With the AUK-F, if you want to run it from a script. To which you replied?
I said, hi, Clatu. Thanks for this heads up. It is a confusing feature of AUK, but it's the same for SED, so at least the authors are consistent. I don't think we've emphasized it enough on reflection. It was highlighted in show two of the AUK series, and it's been used many times thereafter, but hasn't been emphasized. So thanks again for the feedback. It's most appreciated.
And this is a typical Dave comment that I get on a daily basis, guys. You are wrong, but in such a nice way that you can't say anything about it.
I didn't say he's wrong. I just said that we did talk about it, but not enough.
Yes, no. I'm only messing. Sometimes I think I may be messing with you too much.
No, I have a sense of humor. Sometimes I do, anyway. Yeah.
So radio personality here coming through.
Do you know, it's funny though. You can talk about these things because I was looking back through the AUK series and the SED series, and it's there many, many, many times, this minus F, but nowhere does it actually say, look out guys, if you don't use this it'll all fall apart, which is what Clatu's done here, which is great. So you know, you get so close to the subject you miss these things sometimes, so it's useful to have somebody else coming in and saying, hey, what about that? You know, it's feedback is great.
Exactly, and this is why I asked Jeroen to come on today, so he could, you know, talk to us about stuff that we take for granted or are not looking at or don't think it's important. So, you know, absolutely happy to have these discussions. The following day, we had a show by John Culp, a 1948 True Tone D1835 tube radio, and it looks fantastic.
It's a work of art, isn't it? It's a beautiful, beautiful looking thing. I wish the radios like that were available.
My father collected radios for years, and I use air quotes here, which you can't see, repaired them, basically replaced parts. And I got interested in the topic, as you know, my ham radio thing, watching YouTube videos, and I stumbled upon a guy who was doing ham radio and was making these radios safe. So I would advise John to let's just say the electrical practices back then were completely different to what they are now. And sometimes the chassis are connected directly to live, and they're extremely, extremely dangerous. So much so that I previously thought it would be sacrilege to rip out the insides of an old radio and replace it with a Raspberry Pi or something. But now I'm changing my mind totally. There's no way. I don't have the working knowledge to make one of these radios safe enough to have it in your house.
Yeah, that's probably true. Though the outside of that one would be largely wood.
Yes.
So there wouldn't be, and there would have been quite a good cover on the back. So there wouldn't have actually been a huge lot of places where you could have. You know, got a shot from a short or anything. You know, so it's. But you do have a point.
I would have a reputable expert in the field. The have a look at it. From what I saw in the video, there wasn't that much that needed to be done. Replace a few capacitors and change a few of the circuits so that they're not directly going all over the place, and put in some insulation in other places. So not undoable by somebody who knows what they're doing. I'd like to hear some of the ham radio people's views on this, actually. I'd like to hear some from the ham radio roundtable again, which I promise I will not join. Because I think I ruined it. I ruined it for the guy. So please, please forgive me. Anyway, yes. Hammer on. How would you say that? Hammer on?
Hammer on, yes. Yes,
hammer
I would.
On said, tube radio show. What an awesome looking radio. You brought back several memories for me. I vaguely remember my dad playing a stand-up unit in his barn and workshop. I had several push-button selectors. Also, I once had a tabletop tube AM radio with a clock about the size of a toaster. Then lastly, your station playing Dark Lady. Wow, I had that on 45. If anyone remembers those kind of recordings. Thanks, John, for the memories.
John replies, tube clock radio. So glad you enjoyed this. Once you start looking around on the internet at vintage tube radios, you find that there are tons of these things, and the photo galleries are serious eye candy if you like mid-century modern industrial design. They also have lots of tube-powered clock radios like you described. Wish I had the money and the space to start collecting these things.
Okay, let's move on to the following day, which was proof that you can hear anything of interest to hackers on HPR. And it was a hookah show about cancer. I must say, I did not enjoy the show. Did not enjoy the show at all. I appreciated the show. I was glad we had the show on the network. But, wow, yeah.
Yeah, it's quite scary. I said before, I applaud him for being as open with this sort of stuff as he is, but it's an awful thing, and it is one of these things. As a male, you tend to worry about the possibility of ending up with this sort of stuff. So, but he seems to have got through it really well, and seems very sanguine about the whole process. So, congratulations to him.
And I like the show because he was very logical about his approach, very logical, which to me, I did appreciate that. And as Clinton Roy says, thank you for this. I appreciate your openness and the details. He made some reference to the bathtub thing, which I think probably people who go through the treatment understand, but it completely went over my head. So maybe somebody can comment on what that is.
Do you know, I didn't, I must have missed that.
You didn't listen to the show, Dave. See, Kevin, he never listens. I listen, Kevin.
I listen. Well, yeah.
I think it was the erectile dysfunction thing at the end.
Okay, yeah. Because I have a neighbour who we discussed this subject because he suffers from prostate cancer, which is under control in his particular case. So we've had a few. We go to the gym together and end up with interesting conversations as we're both the rowing machines. So how's the cancer then, Stuart? Oh, it's coming on fine. You know how it is. Yeah. So yes.
It is. Sylvie.
Yep.
Okay, into Josh, a.k.a. 47, a.k.a. All About Code. And this was Tony Hughes at the Liverpool Maker Fest about the EduBlocks. Wow, very impressed with this. Also made me feel like I haven't really had a fulfilling life. When you look at what this guy's been able to do in a few years.
This young fella has done so much. He's really quite an impressive guy. This EduBlocks thing is just a brilliant idea. Oh, I think he'll go far with that. I think he's going to go a long way. Did I catch that he set up his own company?
Yep.
Around it. Yeah.
That's what I got.
So, what a brilliant thing. So, yeah, good luck to him.
Yeah, absolutely. Exposing the Raspberry Pi database through a REST API. And no, it's not a expose of the ill doings of the Raspberry Pi. It is what it says it is. Well, this is actually quite a good one. And by Ken, where is the script? Did you forget to include the script itself? Which I was kind of missing in BEZ's episode because there wasn't enough to follow along.
Yeah, it was. He described it quite nicely, but it would have been great to have actually seen what he was doing and understand it in more depth. Because he did, it's almost as if I think he actually had the script in front of him as he was talking about it. That's how the impression I got. So it's a shame we couldn't join him in reading it.
Yeah, but a very interesting thing because what he's trying to do is very useful, I think.
Yeah, it was a nice, really nice way of putting things together, I thought. He was using a Python interface to a web interface, which is the bottle framework. Yeah, because there's Flask and Bottle and stuff, isn't there? That's available.
Yeah,
and
the whole world is import bottle from bottle, import root run template, root or slash hello name, and then define index name, return template, blah, hello, and then your name, using name, and then in run parentheses, whole host, localhost, port, blah, 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 and that's it.
Yeah, it was good.
Very impressive.
A good bit more about the REST API would be a thing. Because that's quite a nice and elegant way of doing things, but it could do with more explanation. Not saying that BEZ should do it, but somebody to do it. And WSGI, which I'm delighted that he called Whiskey. I like that. I was thinking, well, how do we get to Whiskey? Oh, right. A very nice demonstration of a quickly put together bit of software, I thought, or something that you could throw together without a vast amount of effort and get something quite good out of it once you develop from that starting point. Need more like this.
Looking for some, especially on the HBR website, there are times where I regret I don't regret anything. It isn't our code, so it is what it is. But instead of like eps.php ID equals 2617, it would be nice to have hbr.org/eps/2617 and, just get straight to the show or hackerpublicradio.org/host/Ken_Fallon and you get to the host, stuff like that.
I
like nice ways of interfacing with a database or something just to be able to do that.
I did suggest that one time, but I think your feeling was that to add that on after the event would be a hell of a thing, and I think you're right.
Yeah, I'm thinking of I'm thinking of lots of things, but I have very little to be doing that. It might be in our move, Dave, eventually, to having a back end supporting multiple front ends, it might be an idea to have a site that supports that independently. But
yeah, absolutely.
In which case, though, you could generate the web pages statically so that they automatically come out and then they're just static web pages after that. But anyway, the following day, we had YesOd, First Impressions. I can't be pronouncing that correctly.
I'm not sure how I think it's... It's not English. It's a language. I think it's Yiddish or something like that, because I did have a quick look for it, and then I completely forgot to check how you say it. But yeah, it's... YesOd will probably do the job.
Yeah, it's from, again, Tukotoro. And there was one comment from Be Easy. Looking into this, YesOd seems like a great option for high concurrency web applications. Thank you for introducing it to me and to the rest of the HPR community. Again, I'm kind of putting Turoto and Clacky and Sigflup into a group of people on HPR that are operating at a higher level than myself.
Yes, I know what you mean. Me too.
And I feel honored that they are gracing us with their knowledge, is basically what I'm saying.
It's, yeah, I know. Turto's description of this and the fact that it's Haskell and it's something that you can effectively, with understanding, put together relatively easily. That was the impression I got.
Exactly,
easily,
yeah.
In the sense of, you know, if you understand the Haskell, then you can do that. And it's incredibly powerful. You know, it feels like there's a barrier to be broken through there that I'd like to have a go at breaking through. But I don't know. I'm impressed that he's already there.
Well, keep chipping at it. Keep sending in those shows, because sooner or later it'll start dribbling down to us mere mortals. And BJB, who could be in that little group as well, was talking about Quilt, the patch manager, and excellent show notes, excellent examples, and I would never think to use something like this, but I imagine that developers would. I'm not that much of a developer that I would be needing this.
Well, that was pretty much my feeling too, just because my developing stuff is just me writing stuff and then, you know, backing things out that didn't work very well and all that sort of thing. And I don't know whether Quilt would be useful to me. I do feel I ought to answer that question properly, but it certainly sounds like a very clever way of dealing with things. But yeah, don't know how appropriate it is to me.
That said, I do know the guys in work will be sending this on to them, for the simple reason that, well, the entire show, if you're into patch management, I had the feeling that you would have everything that you ever wanted to know about Quilt basically in this entire episode. So great job there.
Yes, some brilliant notes. I think you said that as well, but very, very impressed with the quality of the notes.
Cool. I'm putting that down as one that somebody will just listen to and be absolutely blown over when they eventually get to listen to, which could be in a few years' time. That's the thing about HPR. These things take time. Thoughts on language learning part one.
Hang on. We missed a comment.
Well, we did.
Didn't we? RTSN said,
oh, yes,
this was a great episode. Thanks. So it's worth saying.
Absolutely. Very good. Thoughts on learning languages. Shall we deal with the comments on... Yeah, let's talk about the comments on that. So this was a learning not computer languages. This was about learning actual languages. And it's a mini-series by Dodo Dummy. And Baffled says, nice show. This is my first time commenting, so I apologize in advance for any screw-ups. I believe your point one to move to a new language as possible is an excellent idea. I'd be interested in helping with developing and discussing it, decide to pursue them. There is a great book, what the hell? The Future of Learning by Michelle Thomas. The Michelle Thomas Method by Michelle Thomas, where he discusses perspective on education that I recommend as interesting reading.
And DODD Dummy replies, I have two, do I hear three? Baffled, you make fewer screw-ups than I do. I'll take a look at the Michelle Thomas Method. I would definitely put time into developing this out if it seems like there's enough people willing to spend some time. Two might be enough. A couple more couldn't hurt.
There you go. Anyone with time on their hands? Then the following day, we had MakerFest 2018. I say the following day. It could actually have been over a weekend. We will never know. Should put in the date on. Actually, it was a Friday because it ends in a zero. Channel, Thomas, a.k.a. Little Pink Maker. Excellent. Some really cool stuff there. Have you seen their site?
I didn't look at the site. No, I have to. I did. I must have done, actually. I must have done. Because I made notes about the fact that she's into biohacking. Which sounds quite astonishing, stuff that she's doing. Maybe she said that, or did it say? I can't remember. I look at these and then forget lots of stuff and live from so my notes. Yeah,
so she's
amazing
in,
stuff.
Copenhagen Fab Lab.
Yeah, yeah. She said that she tried to put forward her ideas in the UK and didn't get very far, and then has moved elsewhere to find other people who are more amenable to her thoughts.
Very, very cool stuff, that show. I like these interviews, Tony, all messing aside. Really good interviews. That's one thing I like about HBR is the ability to get the feel of a show without actually having to go. And the next one, Raspberry Pi Thermometer. I was thinking to myself, didn't Epicanus do a show about the Raspberry Pi Thermometer? And the reason I know that is because I was intending on doing one and it never happened. And then somebody else does the show. So, moral of the story, always do your show on time. And then I listened to it and I was absolutely bowled over.
Yeah, yeah. What a great idea for a show. It's always wonderful to hear children getting involved with these things. And boy, does she sound enthusiastic.
Absolutely.
Yeezy's daughter. Amazing.
Comment, Ken Fallon. Why was there no cute warning on this episode? Seriously, a joy to listen to. I think if we should have a explicit warning on our shows, we should have a cute warning.
And DODD Dummy says, cuter than a box of puppies or kittens. If this ain't what hacking is about, then hacking ain't worth a plug nickel, he says. Sorry, I made a mess of that.
No worries.
But that's great. It's a good comment. And yeah, it's like I say, it's great to hear families getting involved with these things and the kids really obviously being enthusiastic about it. All wonderful.
And also that they're doing it because it was on a HBR show, inspired somebody to do it. A nice project you can do with your kids. Excellent.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, the following day, Clacky Wastes, and I say wastes, three shows about actors, agents, sprites, and fractals, where he sits down and wastes shows by pumping them all into one when they could have easily been split up into three different shows.
They covered some ground, didn't they?
Oh, man, did they? Each of those topics could have been a 3 or 4 hour session in itself. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Again, Clacky operating at a level. I'm not 100% up there. I'm your i386 versus 64-bit, you know what I mean?
I do very much, yeah, yeah. It was, I didn't fully understand all they were talking about because I find a lot that Clacky does, you feel, you've just skated over the surface, but and you understood all the stuff that was below, and I don't, and I wish you'd tell me a little bit more. And I know he sometimes listens to us saying this sort of stuff and does do that.
But I still found
it fascinating to listen to. It was really cool.
This one took me about 3 days to listen to because I went to the Wikipedia articles or the linked stuff, and I ended up having to pause the show as I read these whole theories. I'd never even heard of any of these theories. Basically, Clacky, do every one of those lines in your show notes. Can you do a show on? Thanks. Okay.
Yeah, because the sort of basic paradigm of putting together software has changed so much from the time that I had my very limited training in this sort of stuff in the early 1970s. This is just on such a different level. And
yeah, but on the other hand, because a lot of these theories were going back to those times. So, as I was saying, microservices are just actors-based services. It's just fascinating. The whole topic is fascinating. Deserves more show. But I appreciate the fact it was a great interview and it was really one of these where I felt like I was sitting down with my back to them having this discussion in a coffee shop. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Sorry. I just realized I had a telegram.
Okay. I will go on. And the following day, we had a sightseeing tour or a soundscape of cycling through Brussels.
Sorry about that. I had something interrupted me that I had to go and switch off quickly.
No problem.
Yes, cycling through Brussels.
Yeah.
So, yes, Nightwise on his bike going through Brussels. What a wonderful thing.
Speaking French.
Yes. I listened to this a couple of times, actually, because I was looking at the map as he was commenting on where he was. And, of course, you and I have both been there, but not at such a lovely time of the year as he was describing. And, I knew pretty much exactly where he was going.
Yeah,
yes. Fantastic. And buying things in the station in French. And, I got sort of about 2% of the French. Have to listen to it again to get it all, I think.
I know, it's quite interesting. He speaks French with the same accent. He speaks excellent French, but it is, you could still tell it was Nightwise. Whereas some people, when they speak French, you can't tell who it is. It's very, very interesting. Great, great show.
Yeah.
People should send in more of these. Brilliant.
Yeah, Clinton Roy commented, "Fantastic, encore." I said exactly what you just said.
My thoughts on language learning and communication. This is the second in the series. And I do actually like the idea of that he proposes in this series of learning lots of words. Because when I went to do my Dutch learning, as I advanced in sentence structure, my vocabulary was not keeping up with the advances that I was making and how the sentence structure was working. So I think there is a lot to be said for learning at least the languages, learning the, you know, je suis, tu es, il est, nous avons, vous avez, that stuff, just boring yourself, learning that in, learning all the words. There is a lot to be said for that, and then worrying about the grammar later.
Well, I agree with that so much. Doing French at school, it was all about the, today we're going to conjugate the verb, blah, blah, blah. And it was just a case of going through some enormous list. And it made me fall asleep. I that's not the way I want to, I can easily learn stuff. I need to actually be immersed in the language and, you know, soak it up. And then, yep, as you say, go back and say, so how do you join these bits together then? So, and make sense?
Yeah. I would like to, yeah, it's funny. I think it is extremely useful to know the words, but I don't know how applicable that is to other languages that are not based on, you know, Latin languages, Germanic languages. So that is my entire focus. I don't know how it will be in Japan or even Arabic, as far as I understand that the words completely change depending on the gender of the word. So how applicable that is, it's kind of strange.
Cool. Yeah, I agree. I've certainly found I was able to absorb a little bit of understanding from listening to people speak in European languages, not really understanding them very well. But I did go on a tour of Malaysia years and years ago, and it was for Chinese speakers, and it was entirely in Mandarin. And I came back with about three words, and that was a case of, and they keep saying woman, what does that mean? It means we in Mandarin, us, you know. Because they kept saying the tour leader kept saying we are going to go here, and then we are going to go there and stuff. But I got nothing from that, and I don't know. It's just because I'm thick, or just because I don't have my ears don't hear that. That's that sort of language structure. I don't know.
Fascinating, Captain. Fascinating. Helen and Chris from Hackman .co.uk and Rural Code Club.
Yes.
Manchester Hackspace.
Very nice.
Pretty. I'd love to have access to a Hackspace.
Yeah, it sounded like they've got some good stuff in the Manchester Hackspace. And it sounds like the sort of place you'd want to go and visit for certain.
Exactly, yeah. So the following day, my home phone setup. I was surprised by the number of comments coming into this. Mike Ray says, definition of hacking. Brilliant show. Oh, sorry. Sigflop finds some phones, Cisco IP phones, and basically gets them into working order. Mike Ray says, definition of hacking, brilliant show. This show is a real definition of hacking. if I have this right, he found some Cisco phones in the garage of a neighbor and set about getting them to do something useful. The joy of getting something to work is obvious from your tone of voice and your dialogue, something that we all can no doubt identify with. All the more satisfying when it resurrects something previously disregarded.
Be Easy says, my sentiments exactly. This is the definition of hacking. I loved how you described your problem-solving process. More of these, please.
Jezra, absolutely spectacular. This is the best part of this wonderful hack, in my humble opinion, is that you created something and then used that something to record a HBR show.
And DODD Dummy says, scream, yell, bravo! And also, this is called a show. While I listen to all episodes of HBR, Sigflup is on my must-watch-now list. This one delivered in spades, I think he meant, for me. Not only was it fun to listen to, but I have similar equipment, and I've been meaning to do something similar with. There goes my last excuse. My only regret is that after the excellent real hacking phone shows in the last 2 days, my horrible by comparison drivel is up today. Sorry about that. I need to apologize.
Not at all. Mike Ray, stoop? What the hell is a stoop? I think we need an American English dictionary here.
Brenda J. Butler says, stoop. A stoop is a set of cement steps up to your front door. Not as big as a porch. Not sure if it has to be cement. It's actually Dutch. I looked that up because I'd heard this before. I knew what it was. It's Dutch. It's the Dutch for a front step, no?
Seriously?
Stoop, yes. Really? S-T-O-E-P, which is pronounced stoop. It's from the Dutch, and it was the Dutch settlers in New York that coined it.
Yes, Dave, I know. Stoopkrite is pavement chalk. Jeroen?
Yeah.
Can you verify that, please?
Sorry, can you repeat that? Because actually, stoop. I was offline for a second. Well, not more than a second, because I'm on holiday. And I have this nice flat rate pricing plan for my cell phone, but I got a call, and I found out that as soon as I've got a call, my data is gone. So I just rejoined a second ago. So can you please repeat the question, and I'll be happy to answer.
No worries. In one of the episodes, one of our, I think Sigflop is from New York. She mentioned that she found it outside on the stoop. And that's, so there was a question in the comments about where the stoop comes from. And Dave mentioned it's originally Dutch from stoopkrijt and stuff.
Well, a stoop is just the Dutch word for sidewalk.
Yep. So there you go.
Great.
New Amsterdam.
Yeah. It's a great world.
So the following day we had the UK telephone network expiration, which was apt. Given that Sigflop had just done a other show previously. And he does some phone freaking on the British phone network. This was interesting.
Yes, this was fascinating, wasn't it? It's basically finding some numbers that you have access to as a British telecom engineer, some of which allow you to do further investigations of interesting numbers. So you can dial a block of numbers and things. So who knew? I didn't know that. I knew some of those, actually. The one that makes it dial back. We need more like that. That's fascinating.
I remember we used to do that dial back thing, like to pretend it as pranks. So you go to the hall, use that number, then, you know, run away, and then a few minutes later the phone would ring and you pick up the phone and then you go, yeah, what, you're the guards, you're looking for somebody else in the house, or you're the police, you're looking for somebody in the house. Yeah, that sort of never got old.
This brings back fond memories of way back when there was a big community doing this kind of stuff in the Netherlands. And also sort of socially hacking the Semaphore network, where they were picking, using antennas and picking Semaphore messages out of the network. And then instead of And most of the time, those semaphore networks, messages contained a phone number to ring. So instead of somebody else ringing them, they rang that number. And some girl would pick up the phone and said, yeah, expecting her boyfriend to pick her up after a party or whatever. And they would say something like, well, who, John? No, John's not here. John's not there. What do you mean he's not there? Well, you know, this Angela came by and they decided to go out on the town. And then they would really piss off this girl. And those kinds of socially pretty lame but very funny jokes. Hilarious evenings.
What's a semaphore network?
Maybe semaphore is wrong, but... I don't know what the correct English term for it is, but so you have a beeper, you know, you had a beeper on your belt, with a small display, and you could then
pagers.
That's it. Pager. Oh, you're absolutely right. Oh, how stupid I feel.
No.
It's a pager.
Okay, there's
course.
A show you can do for us.
Oh, well, there are lots of shows. I've also been a volunteer firefighter for 10 years. So enough stories there as well.
Cool.
And I've got two girls with a handicap. So there are stories with that as well. Even writing software to analyze medical instruments to give a proper advice to a specialist.
Awesome. Cool. Okay, you owe me all those shows.
Well, let's take it one show at a time.
I'll tell you what, you record the shows. Every show you do, I'll give you a beer if we ever meet.
Oh, well, man,
that could get expensive now. Because
you're so on.
That could get very expensive. 260 beers a year. Okay.
Yeah, well, it's a good argument to visit Ochkamp again next year. With all the Brexit stuff, I probably need some expensive visa or something. But,
yes.
With all the beers in exchange, I think it could be worth my while.
Okay, Dave, if you see him again, you owe him the beers.
I'm not sure. I'm probably not going to Ochkamp.
Okay, let's move on. Thoughts on Learning Language Part 3, the game story mode. I thought...
Did we miss a comment on... the previous show.
Yes.
The telephone. This was from DODD Dummy, who said, memories. Thoroughly enjoyed this episode, due in large part to remembering the times read or listened to people talking about similar things in my youth. I did try some of them out, but mostly read or listened to people describing the experience.
On the parent of this show's parent show, they did... Radio Freak America, they did a lot of this stuff. I'm back on episode 2600. We aired their first show. But if you go back and listen to those 100 episodes, you get quite a lot of this whole scene at the time. Really, really enjoyable. Anyway, learning language, game story mode. So Dodo Dummy's idea is you wake up and you don't know the language. You wake up in a hospital, you have no memories, and basically you have to... navigate around and learn the language of the country or of whatever language that they're speaking in that place that you happen to be. And I thought this was a brilliant, brilliant idea.
Yeah, when I saw the title, I thought, games? How would that work? And wow, that is a very, very nice idea you had there. Yeah, I would certainly play that. That would be brilliant.
If, as he's woken up in a hospital, he could walk around to the children's department, yeah? And look at their storybooks there and then learn a few things, have to go down to the canteen and point out at the food and order the food there. So there's lots that you can do in that whole mold. Brilliant, brilliant idea. Absolutely, I love if somebody did this.
Yeah, right.
Cool. And then the next show, more gaming. There seems to be a lot of gaming. Open source gaming, revisiting Meridian 59. Recorded before release. The dude highly anticipating the release of this game. Do you ever play it?
No. I'm not really much of a game player, I'm afraid.
I think Steam has made a big inroads recently into supporting even more Linux stuff. So, yeah, good in them, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, that was the shows. And there was one previous comment which was on the show, How I Helped My Dad Run a Static Website on SparkleShare by Clacky. And it was a comment by himself, which was a full episode on SparkleShare. For a complete rundown of when, what, and how to use SparkleShare, see Tattoos episode 2609. Really thoughtful of him to go back and do that. I should have linked them myself.
Yes, that's it will be linked though, because it's a comment, won't it?
Yes, but it would be nice actually on the website to digging myself into a bigger hole, to have a way of relating episodes together, because we do that quite often. It would be nice to have it somewhere that would generate a sort of link circle, if you remember such a thing from the early days of the web.
Yeah, I've often thought that it would be good to... I've often seen cases where it would be quite good to drop a link to other related shows just because I happen to notice it or something like that. But that's why we're trying to build a tag thing, of course. That would be another way of doing it.
Except yeah, it's part of it.
Yeah. It's got a way to go yet, though.
The only time I particularly do that is if it's a controversial episode where one episode is... a comment back to a previous episode.
Yeah.
Episode 69 springs to mind. Okay.
Just the one question that pops up by now. So every month you discuss all the podcasts that you've broadcast, right?
Yep.
And since my first podcast will be available in a few days, it's likely that you will discuss my podcast as well next month, right?
Absolutely.
Oh my God. and well, thankfully I can listen to this podcast, but then for next month's edition. Or I could join in the recording just as I'm doing now and at least... respond to whatever you're discussing about my podcast.
Yeah, you can, or you can. And the reason we do this is because HBR has been going for over almost 13 years now.
Wow.
And quite often the shows, they're also released in Creative Commons, so it's common for people to release them on local college stations and local radio stations and local cable networks and the like. And so occasionally you will get a comment back on your show maybe 2 or 3 months or 2 or 3 years even after it's been aired.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, that's the funny thing about the internet. I've experienced that when you it has happened to me several times. You know, I'm based in the Netherlands. I find a bug, something that bothers me. I find a workaround. You publish it somewhere in a news group, and then 2 or 3 months later, you get maybe I even got a response from a sysadmin of a really big university saying elaborate thanks for the fix that I posted. And it's something that when you read it, you can it gives you energy for at least 2 or 3 more days. But it's amazing how, in a way, the internet this way makes a village of the whole world.
Absolutely. And the thing that when we have new hosts on, the thing that discourages them most is not getting feedback for your shows. When I came on, it was the thing that discouraged me. Got no feedback from my show until 2 years in, and then somebody commented on one of my shows saying, hey, you're wrong about this. And yes, of course I was, because we were talking about a release of something that had been done 6 months before, or it was 2 years out of date, so it was no longer relevant. But that is why we've tried on this show to make sure that everybody gets two people or gets some positive feedback, usually positive feedback, on their shows. Dave's shows on Ork, of course, are open game.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Ork is, of course, a standard, a must-have for every self-respecting sysadmin. So
indeed.
It's a good series to have.
Very much so.
Yes, indeed.
So we had... on the mail archive, we had a notification of the on the mailing list, by the way, is open to anybody who's in the HPR community, and you know you're in the HPR community if you're listening to this show. You're definitely in the HPR community if you contribute shows. If you contribute shows over a longer period of time or help off the community, then you become a trusted member of the community. When does that happen? See Plateau's show about trust. Was that even on this network, or was it on his GNU World Order? It was on this network. And very, very good show relating to that. So we had tags and virtualizations. And if you don't mind, Dave, I'll let you do this one.
Yeah, sure. Well, this is BJB, who's been a great help with adding tags to shows. And she was thinking about adding tags to a particular show. I can't remember which one, 31 maybe. And noticed that there were two spellings of virtualization in the system. One with an S, one with a Z.
Yeah.
And she's wondering how we do. I'm paraphrasing.
Well, I'll tell you what we do is we ensure that the Americans toe the line and spell it properly with a Z.
Well, yeah, that was my reaction. I was going to go through and just do the spelling correction all the way through the system, but somebody might call me arrogant. So that was an interesting point, and how should we deal with this? Was really her comment. Should we, how should we deal with similar cases, the color with and without a U, and those types of things? So how do you get to the next message? So we got a response back from Mike Ray, who said, why not use eSpeak phoneme as part of the tag, which I think if you run eSpeak on a word, it will generate a phonemic version of it instead of speaking it. I have done this, but I've forgotten the details of it. And so why not just store that? Because that would be a pretty good approximation to the word. And it should be very similar between the two spellings of a thing. So that seemed like a pretty good idea. And
it was an interesting one I'd never thought of.
No, that was something I'd not thought of either. And I said, great idea. I'd actually played around with Soundex in the past with an LDAP system I had to build. And just being careful not to lose my press talk here as I change page. So Carl Hammond says Soundex is pretty simple. It's very simplistic. So maybe that's not the best way of going about it. And there are other alternative ways of representing. I assume it's a sort of hash-like structure. So I think the general conclusion is something a bit more sophisticated than that would be the way to go. And at the moment, I'm thinking that Mike's suggestion sounds best.
It's pretty cool.
So,
if it works, it'd be kind of cool.
Yes, except you just need to take a word, turn it into the phonemes, and look it up by phoneme. So presumably we could implement something like that once we have a good collection of tags to play with.
It would also solve the comma versus space thing. So if you come up with a phoneme for one word versus two words together versus three words together, if you found a match without the first word. If you didn't find a match on, I don't know, networking hardware, just thinking too, if you didn't get a hit on networking, but did get a hit on networking hardware, then you could weight them on that.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. There's some interesting ideas there to think about anyway.
This is also why I'd like to make the whole back end more open so that people could start working on this. There's lots and lots of interesting stuff, I think, would be available to people if we could get that made available. But anyway, there you go. So the common spam stopper question, I don't know if Jason Dodd has been funny here or not. I've been trying to leave a comment on the HPR episode and keep getting blocked by a spam for a prevention question. The correct answer to the question, what does the P in HPR stand for, is of course perfect, but it's not accepting it. Would someone please fix this and let me know?
Yes. Yeah. I had to giggle at that one. That's a joke, I would say.
It's hard to know. I'm autistic, so I apparently don't have a sense of humor.
Well, I certainly found it amusing. But I still haven't seen that comment from Jason Dodd, though. No, it's a guy called DODD Dummy who keeps on commenting, but yeah, you know, that's just a complete coincidence.
Could be.
Yeah, yeah.
All righty. Are we done, Dave? Is there anything else?
Just to say any other business, I'd just like to take the opportunity to thank people who've contributed tags and summaries and stuff. We had contribution from BJB, and just at the very, very last minute, she did do her episode 31, I think it was, that she said she was going to do. And I said possible future host, Baffled, who also sent in a block of updates. And I I think I was playing a political game there by the possible future host. I did say to him, because once you are a host, then you know it will be very easy to know what handle you prefer and stuff like that.
Yeah, true.
Especially
if you pick something really complicated and we'd be butchering your name,
stumbling over it forever. Yes. So that's it then.
Right. That is that for this month. Tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of
Hacker
Public Radio.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.